Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, welcome back to the Legal Nurse Podcast. This is Kelly Campbell, your guest co-host. Today, we're lucky we have Virginia Sampson. She's a consultant and co-author. Virginia is a full-time caregiver to her husband after his diagnosis with ALS. She is currently a caregiver to her 91-year-old mother with dementia. As a result of her experience caring for her husband and other life challenges, she studied the science of compassion. Her particular interest has been the effect of compassion on health and preventing burnout in caregivers. She is a regular contributor to ThriveGlobal.com. Arianna Huffington's new online publication. She speaks nationally and internationally on the subject of compassion. She is the author of 2 award-winning books and currently practices elder law in Texas. Welcome, and thanks so much for joining us today, Virginia.
Thank you, Kelly, for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity to speak about this.
It is a much needed topic today, with so many baby boomers in line and so many of us getting ready to take care of the elderly and in our personal lives, and so many of us in our professional lives. So tell us, how is it that compassion matters?
Well, I think when you think about the subject of compassion, you have to expand it beyond what our original notion of it is. And of course, most organized religions have a compassion component to them, but this is broader than that. Basically, it's the same concept, but the application is for every aspect of our life. So first, I think I should say compassion is when you recognize someone else is in distress, right, or suffering, and you're moved to help alleviate that distress. So that's where it's different. Compassion has a helping element to it. So when you talk about compassion, it helps you succeed in every area of your life. It improves your health. It helps you professionally. It helps you in your relationships. It helps build communities. It even helps educationally in schools. So it has just this huge encompassing. And the reason it's become a topic, a current topic, obviously, I think we need it in our world, but it's being studied currently at universities all over the country and all over the world. Particularly the two that come to mind are UC Berkeley and Stanford, that have created organizations that actually are devoted to studying compassion and its effect and disseminating that information. So Berkeley is the Greater Good Science Center. People can Google that and get more information. Stanford has the Center for Care and Altruism. You get more information there. But it's a topic that started because we've determined that rather than survival of the fittest, we're kind of raised to think, you know, that's our current thinking, that, you know, we only succeed at someone else's expense. We have to compete with each other. But actually, we are programmed to be social beings, right? To connect with other people, to form communities. And when we connect with other people and we form communities, that is when we are propelled to be our most successful, personally and as a community and as a world.
I agree with that. That's so true. That is so true. And you mentioned the health benefits of it. Can you go into a little bit more about that?
Sure. Well, there is a huge mind-body connection, and this is also what's being studied, but what we feel and what we experience on an emotional level is manifested in our bodies. So when we have pleasurable emotions, we experience that as in terms of being healthy for our body. So specifically, compassion has been known to lower blood pressure, reduce your heart rate, speed up recovery from disease, and increase longevity. Just about a few of the things. One of the ways it does that is that when we, so connecting with others is pleasurable. And as I said, that taps into our basic biology, right? One reason it's so pleasurable is that it taps into our nature. That's our innate nature, is to connect. Compassion is one of the ways, probably one of the principal ways we foster positive connections. So when we do that, we release a hormone called oxytocin. And oxytocin is a hormone that's released during lots of pleasurable experiences. I mean, during sex, when you're breastfeeding. And so when you engage in compassionate acts, or you live compassionately, you're releasing oxytocin into your body. And that is part of why your heart rate can go down, your blood pressure can go down. It also stimulates the vagus nerve, which runs, you know, through our body and controls a lot of things besides our heart rate and our blood pressure. Our breathing is slowed, whereas when we're under stress, it's the exact opposite, right? We release hormones that stimulate those and that are unhealthy for us and cause inflammation, whereas compassion, living compassionately and social connections actually reduce inflammation. And we know those are at the root cause of some cancers and I think a lot of autoimmune diseases. So it's tremendous, tremendous health benefits.
That really makes a lot of sense. So in essence, for the health benefits, it's essentially saying have self-compassion.
Yes, self-compassion is a big component of it. So they study this, they have to define terms and come up with what they mean. So we have compassion, which is that concern directed toward others. And we have self-compassion, which is directed toward ourselves. And self-compassion is basically being kind to ourselves, right? The expert on that has identified three elements of self-compassion, one of which is being kind to ourselves. You know, we really all engage in a lot of self-critical talk, very judgmental of ourselves. And being kind to ourselves means kind of treating ourselves the way we would a friend, a good friend that comes to us with a problem or has done something that they're embarrassed about or made a mistake. We don't tell them that's terrible and, you know, how could they do that? But we tend to do that to ourselves. So the idea is to offer to yourself the same kind of care and concern you would offer to a good friend who's in some distress or who's going through a difficult time. The other elements are to try to keep it in perspective, right? When we go through difficult times, we tend to isolate ourselves. We tend to think of this as, oh my gosh, you know, I'm the only one going through this, nobody understands. So one of the other elements of self-compassion is to recognize that this is just part of the human experience. You know, we are all, everybody has gone through difficult times. Don't isolate yourself. And the third part is to be mindful, right? So, and just generally when you practice self-compassion, we tend to stuff our emotions down. And I think people in the medical profession probably tend to do that more because they deal with a lot of crises, right? And you, when you're in a crisis, you can't express your emotions. So the idea of this element of self-compassion is at some point in time to recognize how you feel. Right? I'm distressed, I'm unhappy, you know, whatever it may be. And when you recognize it and you're mindful of it, then you can start to heal it rather than stuffing it all down. And living mindfully is a big part of compassion, self-compassion, which means just being present in the moment, right? Recognizing how you feel right now and enjoying what's going on, feeling what you're feeling, again, rather than stuffing it down and having it, which can cause damage to your system, because again, that causes stress.
Yeah. So again, that relates back to the health benefits and it's all encompassing. So I guess leading to what we were briefly discussing before we started recording, how does this alleviate burnout?
So the social scientists have proven that people that practice self-compassion, and of course this is primarily either professional family caregivers, a lot of people I'm sure who are in the healthcare industry, It actually makes them more resilient and can help them heal some of the trauma that they experience, right? So when you're in the healthcare field, you can experience what they call secondary trauma, which is, you know, by taking care of them, you're experiencing some of the emotions that that person has experienced. So you are experiencing some trauma as well. And again, rather than stuff it down, the idea is to heal that. So when you are self-compassionate with your, you learn techniques to prevent, to heal that trauma you're also experiencing, but also prevent it, right? And some of those are living mindfully. They found that meditation is huge, and it doesn't have to be the kind of meditation, I know that scares everybody, where you know you sit in the lotus position for 20 or 30 minutes. It can be something very simple, a very simple meditation, but it's the idea that you remove yourself a little bit from life, and it's called, some social scientists refer to it as exercising the brain just as you exercise your body. And they do find that people that meditate actually have changes in the brain, positive changes in the brain. So those are just some of the techniques for compassion, you know, being self-compassionate. And it's taking care of yourself, but it's a little bit different than the self-care that people talk about, because it is scientifically proven and there are specific techniques. Again, meditation, living mindfully, those kinds of things. And there's more than that. There's just a couple of examples of how to, not live self-compassionately, but how to develop self-compassion. It's a process, right? You would start out small and simple. I have some specific little handouts and little techniques that people can do, and then you can build up to, you know, wherever you want to take it in terms of what you may need in your own life.
This is Pat Iyer. Before we continue with the show discussion, I want to share another source of great information about managing stress. I need to ask you a few questions. Do you think of yourself as a strong, capable person? Do you think you're above average in your ability to handle a crisis? Do you think you can keep working through tension and stress? One day, Ayla Akkad, who is a nurse with a master's degree, found herself curled up on her sofa with a blanket over her head, trying to escape her crisis. Has this ever happened to you too? Ayla learned how to reduce her tension, lose weight, make better choices, and love herself with the techniques she will share in this program called Instant Stress Busters. In this program, you will discover how to instantly reduce your anxiety and think more clearly when tension arises. You can get the audio recording of this training and the transcript at this link, http://lnc.tips/stress, and start today in using new techniques to reduce anxiety and tension. That link again is http://lnc.tips/stress. And the program is Instant Stress Busters. Now let's get back to the show.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I am a meditator, and it has made a world of difference in my life. If I go more than 2 days without practicing meditation, I can tell a difference. Do you practice meditation?
I do. I try to do a little bit in the morning. There's a loving kindness meditation that just is one of the tools for becoming more compassionate and incorporating more compassion into your life. So in the morning, I start out just sending love to my family, to myself, and then I extend it to the community, the city, the world. And they find that this loving kindness meditation actually helps you feel more love toward yourself, but more love toward other people. And again, that's a social connection, which creates health benefits for us. And you know, our sense of connection to others is one of the best things we can do for our health. And so loving kindness kind of helps with that, helps us create that sense of connection. And it's interesting with compassion, it doesn't even necessarily have to be reciprocated, because I'm sure we've all had that experience where you've done something for somebody and they've been kind of nasty back or don't even acknowledge it. There is a benefit to you even if the person that you've expressed it to doesn't reciprocate, I mean, just the idea that you have expressed that concern and offered to help someone has benefits for you, whether they acknowledge it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. And I've also read a smile, if you can keep a smile on your face, your brain recognizes the smile as peace and contentment as well.
Yeah, it can be something very simple. I mean, I have, as a consultant, I have, you know, kind of practices and techniques for people. But if you're starting out, it can be very simple. Like when I leave the house in the morning, I try to put, I kind of weirdly call it my compassion hat, but I put myself in the frame of mind that my goal for the day is to be kind and smile, you know, be kind to everybody I meet during the day rather than to get the 40 things done on my to-do list, which, you know, is an endless list, as we all know. So something simple like smiling, saying hello, holding a door open, creates that feeling of connection with other people. And, you know, it doesn't have to be complicated.
That's for sure. It is truly the little things in life. So let's talk about, because it sounds like you are a practicer as well as a teacher of what you do. So let's talk about what are some of the simple practices to create more compassion in your life. We've talked about meditation. What are some additional things? Because this is something I believe in. You and I have exchanged several emails and brief conversations, and I have pen in hand here.
Well, one of them for self-compassion is just something as simple as a self-compassion break. And I'm happy to share this if people contact me. I actually have a handout on it that originated from the person that the social scientist that developed the term self-compassion. But it's just what we just the three steps that I mentioned, right? Stopping the self-critical talk, saying something kind and loving to yourself, putting this in perspective. And being mindful, you know, how do I feel right now instead of denying it? You know, I'm upset, I'm angry, or you're happy. You know, those three steps in just a 5-minute self-compassion break can make a huge difference in a day. Also, the loving kindness meditation that I mentioned, and I have a handout on that as well. And then as you interact with people during the day, this is hard because we think that it takes a lot of time. I don't really think it takes as much time as we think, but our lives are so busy and so overscheduled. But practice active listening, right? Pay full attention to others when they're talking to us. Right. I mean, and so when they say something to you, you know, verbalize their point of view or what they're saying to you. Acknowledge their emotions. And, you know, just be quiet. Let them talk and validate what's going on with them. That's true with anybody in our life, our kids, our spouses, our neighbors, but certainly in the healthcare field. Being a caregiver, being a compassionate caregiver has huge health benefits for the person that you're caring for as well. Right. Compassion is contagious. It's like a pebble in a pond. It spreads. So if you are being compassionate toward them, they are going to experience it. And also, then you're going to get some benefits from the compassion they're feeling. So those are just a few simple practices that you can do. It takes a little changing our mindset a little, but once you incorporate them into your life, they don't really take a lot of time. And I think you will see some huge benefits.
Yes, very much so. Now what books did you write?
I have written a book called Compassion Magic, which is about my experiences. You know, we've all been through a lot of challenges in life, and I had some challenges, and then of course when my husband had the diagnosis with Lou Gehrig's disease, and we got that diagnosis when our youngest was just 2 weeks old.
Oh,
and I quit working and took care of him. And to be honest with you, I didn't find the world to be a particularly compassionate place to me going through that, to my husband, or to my children at school. And so I was pretty angry and bitter about that for a while. And part of the healing process for me was learning to be more compassionate, right? Bitterness is kind of the opposite of compassion, I think, in some senses. And so learning to see it from other people's perspective and validate that, right? They couldn't handle it. They had to face their own mortality. They didn't know how to deal with it. They didn't know what to say. They didn't know what to do. And I think a lot of that helped me heal and led me to want to study the science of compassion, because I found that it's so critical. It is critical to our survival as a species. And if we're going to thrive, it's important. So that kind of got me on that path. So it's about my journey of healing and discovering compassion again for myself and for other people. Mm-hmm. And I've also written a children's book because I think it's so important that we teach children to be compassionate. So I have Superhero Sam Saves His Family, and basically it's about a little boy. It can be Sam or Samantha, but who discovers, who is thoughtful and kind and helps. And so his mom and dad tell him or her that he's a superhero because he's kind and thoughtful and helpful. I get a little tired of the superheroes. I think they're great, you know, but they are hitting and kicking and, you know, those kinds of things. I wanted somebody to be rewarded for some of the values that reflect compassion and social connection. So those are the books that I've written.
Oh, fabulous. I need to get those for my nephews.
Yeah, Superhero Sam will hopefully be a series. I've been so busy that I haven't actually had time to finish the next one, but it's going to be a series of, you know, being compassionate in different places in your life, at school, on the playground. This happens to be with his parents. And his parents learn to be compassionate too, because, you know, it's funny when your kids help you when they're little, it's kind of like, oh, really, are they helping? Right? It makes more work for you. But the idea of the parent recognizing that this is building a connection with their child and that they need to welcome their help and be patient with them is, I think, part of what goes on in the story too. We all tend to be so rushed and hurried.
Yeah.
And one thing I just want to throw in, I know this is a little off topic, but I just want to just add one thing that these social scientists and studies are showing that a lack of social connection is a greater detriment to your health than obesity, smoking, and high blood pressure.
You know, that does not surprise me. I just watched a documentary on loneliness, and the statistics were amazing on the depression related to loneliness. And it doesn't necessarily mean someone that's alone physically, but the capacity to speak or to communicate with someone else, their feelings. So that statistic that you just shared does not surprise me.
No, they're tracking this and saying we are becoming more isolated and lonelier as a culture, and that's causing a lot of, you know, social issues as well as health issues. And yes, compassion does help reduce anxiety and depression, because obviously those are partly a result, unless it's a chemical imbalance, at least they're a result of a lack of social connection and social support. So, yeah, it's huge. The loneliness issue in this country is becoming an increasingly important issue. We think of it only in terms of the elderly because, you know, obviously they tend to live alone, but it's true for all of us.
Yes. Yeah, it was an interesting perspective because, you know, I initially, like you just mentioned, you think of the elderly because they physically live alone, but it was about communication and being physically looking at the computer or their phones and not communicating their feelings and that sort of thing. So,
yeah, we need meaningful social interaction and connection, which is part of what that active listening is about. That's a big part of what, you know, just listening to each other, validating what's going on with the other person instead of thinking the next thing we're going to say or what's on our to-do list. Actually, compassion helps you also professionally. It's not survival of the fittest professionally either. Interestingly enough, they've studied and determined that those people who are compassionate in the workplace are also the most successful leaders, the best employees, and the happiest. So it has ramifications in every aspect of our life.
I believe that there's a difference between a leader and a boss. So I could, oh, I've enjoyed this conversation. Very much so. So tell our listeners how we can get in touch with you to get your worksheets and buy your book. I need to get Superhero Sam.
Well, I have a website, compassionmagic.com, and that tells all about me. I'd love people to follow me on Facebook or Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn, Virginia Hunter, Hunter Sampson, just because there's actually a couple other Virginia Sampsons. My books are available on Amazon, and I'm happy if you want to email me. You can email me from the web page, or you can email Virginia Hunter Sampson at gmail.com. I'm happy to share any resources. I have a huge reading list. I'm happy to share any handouts. I do consulting for individuals and small groups about incorporating compassion into your life. So, please reach out to me. I think if we are going to create a world where we want to live and our children want to live and our grandchildren want to live, we need to start practicing compassion.
Agreed. Well, as soon as we're done recording, I'm gonna bug you on com meditation with compassion component. I want to learn more about that. Maybe that's the next podcast audience. We'll see. But anyway, we're done for today. Tune in next week. Thanks so much for joining us, Virginia.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you for having me on. I
Oh,
really appreciate it. But I love spreading the news, the word about compassion and its importance.
It is so very important. All right, tune in next week. Don't forget to like us. Bye-bye.
And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on LegalNurseBusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at LegalNurseBusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month Clubs, my membership site, lnceu.com, gives you 2 online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at lnceu.com. And my last website, thelncacademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at lncacademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on LegalNurseBusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at LNCAcademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.